Basic witches.
Basic witches.
I mean, we're witches.
Basically.
What?
What?
What do you guys want? What? Why are you listening to another episode?
As if it's Witchy Wednesday or something. What?
What? Anyway, well, welcome back, I guess.
Yeah, we're here now. Hi.
I'm.
Actually, we get high.
Yeah, we get pretty high. We might still be a little bit.
Yeah.
I'm Leah Knauer.
I'm Rachel LaForest.
Yeah, and I'm eating a little bit of mango still.
It's a good time. This is a fucking feel-good episode.
You guys
are going to feel good listening.
With our friend Mary Jane Gibson, who is an incredible human being.
Yes. She's a weed connoisseur, works in the cannabis industry. She has for many years. She's a beautiful spirit. Yes, her name really is Mary Jane.
Uh-huh. It's a real name.
Is her career. Makes me think of like Freakonomics or something where, you know, your name can change your life. But I don't know.
I have heard that episode. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's cool. I had a little...
Yeah, what did you want
to
say?
Something I wanted to share from some dirty talk that I was having some dirty talk and some really good sex, and I then realized after, I was like, oh my God, that's so funny because, you know, I've been on this journey of, like, learning about the feminine and the masculine and everything, and in a nutshell, the masculine is more giving, the feminine is more receiving, and literally this dirty talk, we came at the same time, him saying... take it, and me saying, give it to me. And it was just like, oh, sorry, that sounds...
Rachel, that's just like, that's just normal sex talk.
No, but
take it, give it to me.
But I've had partners that are not... Okay, but it's...
But that's just normal sex talk.
I know, but if you think about it, it's like we are literally speaking the masculine and the feminine to like the most basic degree.
Yes.
It's like animal level, basic, this is masculine, this is feminine, and it's like getting us off. I just find that fascinating because it's simple but, like, fucking true.
Yeah, very literal.
Yeah, very literal, but I haven't had that with partners before. It's always been more of a mix, or I've felt more like, I don't know, it's been a mix. This was so, whatever, I might cut this out.
I have all the editing power.
You're all welcome.
Look, if you want to just relive your sex, you can just tell us.
Not label it with like a psycho.
All good. You're putting on the CBD oil. Mary Jane brought us some goodies as
usual.
She's so
nice.
She's the coolest and get to love her.
Oh, enjoy.
What if we just forgot to record?
We just hung out.
Smoke
That's
and
fine.
Hang out.
That's
yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
So let me ask you, since you are the expert.
Well, wait. Do you want to say it closer to the mic? As you blow smoke.
If you try using the microphone on your podcast.
Yeah,
Rachel.
<Rach.
laughs> Yay.
Well, I was just going to ask specifically about this brand, Lowell. Do you know them?
Yeah, Lowell Farms.
You gave us the butter.
Yeah. Lowell Farms are great. They're all organic.
Yeah.
They're very kind. Yeah, I love their pre-roll packs are actually what I choose.
That's what this is from.
Yep. I love their pre-roll packs.
Okay. Me too.
Oh, yeah.
But I will say this pack had a lot of tight mouthpieces, but I kind of figured out I could just wiggle them to open them up. But
yep.
Do you find that a lot with... or is that random?
Yeah, it's a tight roll. It's a nice tight roll.
Okay.
Which I like.
I love... Oh, you're such a connoisseur.
Ooh, canisseur.
Cannabisseur.
Uh-huh.
Oh, talent and, like, expertise is so fucking attractive.
Oh, well...
And you've got it.
You guys have it in spades.
Oh, well, thank you.
Yeah. Thank you. I'm not sure what the spades part means, but...
I don't either. Is it a poker reference, maybe?
Yeah.
You have it in spades. Oh, maybe. Maybe it's like, I have a flush and they're all the same suit.
I feel like it's a reference to cards.
Spades. Yeah.
You have it in spades, maybe?
That would make sense.
I don't know. I hope it's...
I want to investigate this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just was reading that a friend of mine was like, wait, it's nip it in the bud, not nip it in the butt. And I was like, it is. And then I was like, well, I really actually want to look it up. So I looked up the idiom, and it's from nipping a flower in the bud before it blooms.
Oh.
End it before it begins.
End it before it blooms.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I thought it was so funny. Yeah. My friend was like, wait, what?
Yeah. Oh, there's
so
another...
funny when you get them wrong.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh. I feel like I do that a lot, just slightly off.
I cannot stand when people mean to say specifically and they say pacifically.
Ooh.
It's like I want to fucking push you in the Pacific Ocean.
Who says pacifically?
I don't know. I've heard it.
I don't like when people say, if you need to ash.
Thank you.
Did you just get too high? I saw the thought leave your head. I know that moment.
I don't like when people say licking my chops.
Ew, why would you say
like, that? That was so good. I'm licking my chops. Ew.
Who says that?
It doesn't happen a lot.
Oh, that reminds me. There was this guy once who said, my dogs are barking.
Yeah,
and like his feet were tired, and I thought that was really strange.
Gross. I don't like when people, servers in restaurants, ask me if I'm working.
What is that?
Are you still
mean?
Working on that? Or if I, are you still picking at that?
You pick.
Which is gross. Disgusting. I'm not picking at it. I'm eating. Get away from me.
Yeah. I'm trying to eat.
Still working.
And even worse, like, are you still enjoying that? Maybe I wasn't ever enjoying it.
Dare you assume?
Don't assume.
Maybe I fucking hated it. You don't know.
We are so high maintenance.
It's all gone, but...
Well, I do hate how fucking fast they take away your plates in LA.
I do not like it.
Here.
I don't like it. I don't like
that's
the
how
etiquette
people stay
is
thin.
Leave the plate until everyone at the table is finished, right?
Yeah, give me a chance.
Oh, wait, I just put that.
I just put that's it good. Out.
No, I think you knew your body was like, we're good right now.
I don't know
we're
what
good.
Happened.
We're okay, we're going back to it.
Yeah. We're good.
So you're a witch.
Oh, yeah.
I feel seen.
Can you please tell us? Because I feel like when we were on your podcast, we couldn't go all the way in.
Ooh.
Because we wanted to save it for this. So let's go all the way in. What do you do, witchily?
Witchily? It's so interesting. I love talking to you guys about this. Because when we had you on Weed and Grub, which is the podcast.
Yes.
Yeah. When you guys came on, it was so, I don't know, it was so much fun to get into.
Yeah.
And I talk about it a little bit with Mike, but... Yeah, it's hard to delve into unless you're talking to other witches.
Who get it?
Yeah. Who get it? So I have always been really connected to artifacts, you know, bones. I have a lot of bones in my house. So I feel like surrounding myself with artifacts is kind of witchy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What else
Definitely
do I do?
Because they have a history and
story
sort of
with
stored,
them.
Yeah. Stored emotion, maybe, or stored
energy.
Yeah. I feel like connecting through cannabis is something that feels
that
very
witchy.
Totally. It gets people vulnerable.
Mm-hmm. It does. And it connects you to the earth and the environment around you. And so I feel like that's a big part of my life.
Uh huh.
And I pay a lot of attention to the moon.
Ooh, yes.
I would say those three things.
Yeah.
I feel pretty connected to. And otherwise, I don't know. I think all women are witches, honestly.
Yeah, or can be. Yeah.
Or can be, exactly. If they connect to it.
Yep.
Absolutely.
What do you mean you connect with the moon?
I just feel it. I mean, I honestly feel like I am in the pull of the moon always, always.
How does it affect you, like, physiologically and physically?
My flow.
Yeah.
Hugely. Like,
this happened to us.
Well,
we had
totally.
A new moon event and I immediately got my period.
Me
three,
too.
And
yeah.
Did you
later.
Have it around the same time? Because you were there.
Yeah, that full moon.
Yeah.
It was like a massacre.
In your underpants? Yeah.
That shit is powerful. And that's happened to me more than once with women's circles under the moon.
Yeah.
Getting period. Yeah.
Crazy.
So that's what you're referencing with.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, my flow. And then also just, I don't know. I feel like my entire, everything, my moods and my energy levels and, you know, when the moon is full, I feel more creative and fertile, you know, in all ways. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I feel connected to it. Do you guys feel that?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, well, you had that moon party and it was just so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't notice it that often, though. Like that time I for sure noticed it, but it's almost like the more aware I am, because I'm learning more and more about the moon because I'm getting more interested in it.
Yeah.
So that's helped me notice it more. But before, I haven't really noticed it.
Once you notice it, you won't stop. Like you're just going to keep connecting more and more with it.
The beauty of it this season, I don't know if it's because it's the fall or something or because I'm just paying more attention, but it has been breathtaking to meet the moon. It's been like hand on my heart, like stop breathing for a second. Wow, beautiful. So that's a connection for me.
I catch myself looking at it a lot more often now and appreciating it. Yeah.
Oh.
I connect to the moon like I kind of connect to candles. Like when I light a candle, I think about the people who aren't with us anymore a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And I think of the moon in a similar way. Like, whenever I look at it, I think about the people who aren't here anymore.
This is such a stoner thing, but, like, I always look at the moon like, I cannot believe there's only one of those. And everyone in the world looks at that one fucking thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, so if you talk to someone that, like, in Europe, and you're like, look at the moon tonight and think of me, that's, like, the only one you're both looking at. So you're looking at the same thing. How fucking crazy.
I just heard accordion music in my head, like, thinking, like, standing on a balcony in Paris and looking at a moon. But it's true. I mean, it really, like, you can look at that moon exactly, and connect with anyone.
You can also see the moon from Mars, which is crazy. You can see our moon from Mars.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. All the planets from all the planets? I assumed you could.
I guess, yeah. There was a cool side-by-side photo, because the guy I'm seeing is really into space, and I saw him post it. And which update, I have followed him back. The guy I'm seeing, I finally followed back on Instagram. Mm. I guess I didn't mention that before, but I was following him as sort of a tease thing.
It
was
wow. Funny.
And to also keep it, I'm going on a tangent. But
yeah, you are.
Don't worry, I will come back to the side by side. This tangent is side by side of the original thought.
Okay.
Are you guys following?
Sort of.
Sure. I'm curious what your thought
sense
is.
To me. Okay, so... Anyways, there was a side-by-side of, like, mountains on Earth and, like, hills on Mars, but they made it line up so it looked connected, but it was both of the view of the moon, of our moon.
Whoa.
So it's just, I don't know, it's interesting that, like, you were just now saying about how people can see it from Earth and you're looking at the same thing, but also from Mars, which is, like...
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
My question was going to be when you were talking about that, what do you, because you said when you light candles, you think of people who aren't here anymore.
Right.
Can you, if you feel comfortable, elaborate on what you believe as far as people who aren't here anymore?
Oh, I believe they're all around us. Mm. I truly believe that. So I was raised in a family of scientists and, like, fisheries scientists specifically. Mm-hmm. And
fisheries
scientists. My grandmother, my dad, and my sister are all marine, like, fisheries scientists. Oh. And so I spent a lot of time, like, out on the water and fishing. And I worked on a boat in Alaska for a while. And lived at sea for a while. And I truly believe, like, being on the ocean and seeing all of the creatures and just the vastness of space through water that, like, I just really feel like everything is present around us. And after my father died, I saw a humpback whale that felt very significant to me. Like, it really believed, like, I was connecting with something that was sort of from...
Do you feel like you are a humpback whale, or you just...
No, I felt like I was seeing my father's sort of Yeah, it was really cool. It was way too early where I'm from in Newfoundland to see a humpback whale, and he had just passed. And I went out to this rocky point, and I toasted him with a beer. And this squall of rain passed over, and this rainbow came out, and underneath it, like, right off the cliff, this humpback whale came up. And it was, like, a month too early to see a whale.
Wow, that's magical.
Absolutely magical.
Yeah, so cool.
And so I think ever since that moment, I've truly believed that when you are not here with us in this way, that you're still present.
Somehow present.
I really believe it.
Yeah.
I mean, that makes sense to me in a way of, like, we're physically molecules. We're made up of molecules, and then we die, and that goes somewhere, but it stays here on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, those molecules are still here.
Like, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think your consciousness is...
there's some way that could be still effective. To, like, people who are alive.
Yep.
Yeah.
What do you think happens to us after we die?
Oh, my God, guys.
no, we're just right there.
I honestly believe, like, that psychedelic experiences through LSD and mushrooms and even cannabis on a certain level can kind of show us what happens when we die.
Mm.
And...
I believe that's actually, like, that when you trip on psychedelics, that you're sort of seeing a glimpse beyond.
Of, like, more of the universe or more of another dimension?
Who knows? I mean, have you guys ever tripped?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you're seeing another world, but we all...
I don't look at my skin the same anymore.
Yeah, you're seeing our world in a different way than you can without them.
Right, and it's interesting that, like, mushrooms and LSD, like, have the same effect on... Like, we all see the same thing.
That is
to some degree. You know, we see, like, the same sort of imagery being
bumpy, or we see, like, neon layers to stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
So I truly believe that, like, I don't know what happens, but I believe that through psychedelics we can achieve a better understanding of what may happen.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Do you know?
Yeah, like, I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
So there was this famous scientist that he's known as the godfather of ecstasy. His name is Sasha Shulgin.
Hell yeah.
Whoa.
And he synthesized over 700 psychedelics, and he tested them all on himself.
What?
Mm-hmm.
There are that many? I thought it was just shrooms or acid.
No, he synthesized hundreds of them, and he tested them all on himself,
yeah.
And his wife as well.
Oh, my God.
Together, they tripped on all of these different psychedelics.
That's
and it was
crazy.
A real quest for, you know, knowing more about what he was synthesizing and,
yeah.
and also looking beyond, I think. And he wrote two books about it.
Whoa.
Psychedelics I Have Known and Loved. And which is abbreviated as PCAL, and then or FECAL, and then there's also TCAL, which I can't remember. But anyway, that's a lot of information.
That's
but
a bad name.
Sasha Shulgin, I think, was he was on that quest to find out what happens to us through psychedelics.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I just feel like psychonauts, like astronauts, you know, psychonauts.
They're almost like traveling into the unknown of the psyche.
Voyaging to find out what happens when we die.
Whoa.
Yeah. And I do see your connection back to the ocean there, because the ocean on Earth is one of the closest things to feeling like weightless gravity in space. And the ocean is very connected to space, they say. Like, there's parallels, right?
Right.
As far as, like, when we get down to the very bottom, it's pitch black darkness, absolute darkness, which is space.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. And all those unknown creatures down there that we're discovering that are fucking, like, alien kind of looking.
Crazy. Yeah.
Like, the ocean freaks me out. But for real.
It's a scary big thing,
you
know.
And that is, like, space, too.
Yeah.
It's like, and also, it's an environment we can't survive in without assistance and air and all this stuff. Like...
Yeah. It's a lot. I mean, my father always said that, you know, we know less about the ocean than we do about a lot of things, space being one of them.
Wow.
And I think with psychedelics, like, you know, there's a similar exploration to be done. A lot
But what's interesting is that is intangible. Like, you go down to the bottom of the ocean, you can find fossils, you can find, like, actual artifacts. But with psychedelics, it's just in your brain.
Yeah.
And you can't prove it to anyone. So it's like, where is the research? Where are the theories?
But this is my question.
What's the proof?
To you guys, do you believe it is just in your brain? Or do you believe it's some sort of beyond?
That's such a good question.
Oh, I think it's one and the same.
Interesting.
Oh.
Yep. That's a good answer.
Your reality is your reality, you know? It's however you perceive it.
You are traveling through time.
But the fact of the matter is, once you see something, you can't really not unsee it. So now in my sober brain, I know a reality, which is like a, quote, alternate universe, I know, a rarity. But, like, when I'm not tripping, I can still remember, like, I can look at my skin and, I see how that looked when I was on acid. So it's kind of like now I live in the great beyond.
Yeah. Isn't that
it is something
beautiful?
I was seeing for real.
It's so cool. I actually think I'm due for another psychedelic trip to get that refresh of, like, that perspective.
But there's no time like the first time.
Yeah, the first time's really good. I was nauseous going in, which I hated.
Oh, well, that sucks.
Yeah. But the whole trip was great.
What, Mary Jane, what was your first time?
I don't remember the first time.
Or the first, like, monumental time that you can remember.
Oh, there are so many. I had a really monumental time at Burning Man when...
That's the place to do it.
It was pretty great. And we had gotten in early because we were building our camp. And so there was no one there. And... my friends and I had eaten a bunch of mushrooms, and we'd walked around, and, like, art cars and stuff were starting to show up, but it was still very underpopulated.
Fun.
Really cool. And so we'd had this amazing trip, and then they went to bed, and then I ate another handful.
Oh!
By yourself?
By myself.
Oh, my God! How'd that go for you?
It was honestly, like, I think up until then I had only ever done psychedelics recreationally. That was like a sacrament. Ooh. Kind of like tearing open a veil.
Holy.
And looking at the other side.
I just took a deep breath because I was feeling how you must have felt the next day, like super raw and like.
Yeah.
Ooh.
What was it like, the other side? Can you describe, like...
I can't describe it. All I can really say is that I had gone that year to Burning Man to...
What year was this?
2005.
So okay.
It was a long ass time.
Yep, like, I was there.
No Wi-Fi there, even.
Okay.
Like, no phones. It was, yeah, you were isolated. It was the year Katrina hit. We were all on the playa, and people didn't even know it was happening.
Oh, my God. The same week?
Yeah. There were people on the playa who were from New Orleans, and people started trickling in and saying, did you hear? And they were like, what? It was crazy.
That's so horrible. Mm-hmm.
It was a really intense year.
Yeah.
And I was at Burning Man partly mourning a friend who had died.
I see.
Grieving a very dear friend. Mm-hmm. And so that, like, experience, because she had been to Burning Man as well, and she was one of my best friends. And so going to Burning Man and feeling sort of, like, trying to feel close to her was sort of what I was doing.
Yeah.
And I had eaten the mushrooms and run around with my friends, and I hadn't felt the closeness. Mm. And so eating that handful, I was like, it was like running, like, running toward a wall and just trying to break through.
Wow. Yeah.
And, it was so intense. I can only say it was like tearing away the veil. Like it was, I became like a, I don't even know. I can't even describe it as though I had thoughts. I just had a really intense trip where I felt very sort of like, I went really far out into the desert and like lay on my back and just felt the earth beneath me and the sky above me.
Mm.
And
doesn't it all feel so heavy in that moment?
It felt
like you
so
can even
heavy.
Feel like the earth, the weight, like, of the earth beneath you and the weight of the sky above you all pushing in on you.
Yeah.
Like gravity, like gravity pulling you against the ground, really like magnetic.
Yeah. Well, you can feel all of your bones sink into the earth and all of your flesh on your bones.
Yes.
It's a very intense.
Yes. Thing. Yeah.
And and so, you know, and finally the sun came up and I was found by a ranger. And I was like 20 feet away from the portalettes.
Oh my God.
Lying on my back.
Yeah.
Luckily, it was like before people had arrived. So they weren't gross. Okay. But Leah knows, like, if you've been, when did you go?
Still. I was there, oh my God, 2015? Something like
that. Do you know how gross the portalettes get?
By the end of the week, it's so fucking disgusting. But it's all part of the burn.
It totally is. It's part of it.
I was fucking miserable. Like, almost the whole time I was there, the year I was there was, like, horrible, horrible dust storms. And but, so a lot of my memories are us, like, hiding in a van or, like, hiding in a tent. We were always hiding in something, you know, trying to protect ourselves. And, like, I was so miserable. My friend Tessa and I were just, like, bonding over how fucking miserable we were. And then, like, we made jokes about it the whole time. And then as I was leaving, I remember thinking, like, oh, my God, this was amazing. Like, and I feel like that's what Burning Man is. It's
it
like
sure
that's,
can be.
You take the shit stuff, sometimes literally, like, it can be really fucking awful. But then in those moments where I was hiding in the van, we had, like, the best talks.
Yeah.
And, like, we laughed at, like, crazy things. And we just, like, it was such a memory.
It truly is. I haven't been since 2009. And I think I want to go back.
I this year.
Yeah.
So
let's go.
I need to go.
It's over Labor Day weekend. So Labor Day weekend is the burn. So it's that week leading up to it.
Of September?
Okay. Yeah. Whenever Labor Day is, it's the week before.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Yeah.
We should all go.
Yeah,
let's go.
Let's
grab Mike Glazer and go to Burning Man.
You know, what do you think?
Yeah, okay, we can cross pod from there.
Yeah,
hell yeah,
let's do that.
We'll do an episode
tripping.
Too. Somehow,
I do have to just like button up my story by saying that I was found lying on my back by a ranger 20 feet from the toilets, and that sounds awful, but it was actually totally fine. I was safe, and it was great, and I'd
you
had a very and I needed to pee, and then I like got up and went back to camp and felt much better having had that whole trip. So I just wanted everyone to know that I'm okay and it wasn't sad.
Yeah.
How long were you out on this journey?
Oh,
like,
God,
was it hours?
Yeah, it would have been like four or five hours.
Wow.
Do you recall it? Can you remember it? Or is it all kind of a blur now?
No, it's not a blur at all. It's very clear, but if you know, it feels like it took, like it would be, I don't know, like describing a very nonlinear, weird dream and, you know, kind of boring probably, but like a lot of it was, you know, like just looking into deep space and feeling sort of insignificant and entirely myself all at the same time feeling sort of just really safe when I was probably not.
Yeah.
But I felt really...
But you were.
Yeah.
You were
and I didn't connect in the way that I wanted to with things, but I felt reconnected because I had been so sort of like isolated. When you grieve, you know, you really get so completely isolated from everything, and it sort of like cracked me open again. Yes. And so then I was able to like socialize and enjoy my friends again. Yeah. And so I'd needed it. It was like hitting a reset button.
The actual burn is so fucking cathartic.
Mm.
Like magic.
Yeah.
Like I remember I put a note in there that had to do with my mom, like forgiving her. Mm. But it's interesting because I recall it now and I'm much more in a place of forgiveness for her, where when I wrote that note, I was not.
Wow.
But it was still me practicing that.
Yeah.
So I put that in, and then like I remember watching the man burn and just thinking like, whoa, everyone put all of their emotion and all their energy. There's pictures of like dead loved ones and like notes, old wedding dresses, you know, like you name it, it's in this
man. I'm chills right now.
This is the big event.
My boyfriend brought 7 years of taxes and threw them into the burn. It's very, very cathartic.
Yeah.
Ooh, I gotta go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have to go.
It feels really powerful.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And there are all of these dancers performing as well, like fire dancers, which is just gorgeous to watch, like the rhythm of the fire. The whole thing is really, really beautiful. And I know it's so easy to make fun of.
Totally. You know? But like, it's a fun fucking time.
It really is.
Who
and
cares?
It can be anything you want it to be.
Yeah.
Like, that's the other thing about it. It's not like everyone goes to Burning Man and puts on like leg cuffs and, you know, runs around naked. Like,
no,
you can go and meditate looking at a huge piece of art
if
you want to.
There's families there.
You don't have to get crazy.
That's cool.
Yeah, families totally. So.
All kinds of people.
Is there nudity though? Is there
you
can be totally naked if that's what you want?
You have to be 100% okay with people being naked.
Don't worry. Yes.
There was this one guy who I loved who clearly went to Burning Man solely for that purpose and never made any friends, but he would walk past every day.
Awesome.
He would have Tevas, you know, and socks because you have to protect your feet because it's a fucking dust bowl.
Yeah.
And that was it. And then he had a little spray canister of water, and he would just stop and ask everyone if they were hot.
Oh.
And he would spray you down.
Wait, like in a creepy way or in like a...
No.
Okay.
And like he's just
That's
like
sweet.
Some little dude.
Just wanted to be naked.
Just wanted to be naked.
Yeah.
Making people happy.
Making people wet.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
You know, it takes all kinds. That reminds me of a guy who used to... Did I tell you about the guy who used to get rolled up in a rug?
Wait, you touched on this.
I feel like we talked about this.
Can you tell it again?
Retell it.
It was like a warehouse party that I was at in New York, and I like stepped up to the bar and I was like, what am I standing on? And then I realized I looked down and it was this guy who was rolled up in a rug.
Why?
And his fetish was to be stood upon.
Wait.
And he got you.
Wait, yeah.
It was like a weird. How do you accidentally walk on a rug that has a body in it?
Right?
Was it
right
against the bar?
Okay. Mystery unsolved.
I think drugs were also involved in that experience.
Wow.
Psychedelics, probably.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. People have all kinds of fetishes. Like,
Yeah. What? I want to hear you guys talk about that.
Oh, my gosh.
Everyone wants to know.
Yeah. Oh, one of my sisters put up an ad for like organizing like organizing people's homes.
Mm-hmm.
It's like one thing she does. And she got a fetish person, of course. It's Craigslist, but it was just, he was like, hey, do you want your feet tickled? I'll give you $100 for your time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's a foot fetish guy.
It's a real thing.
It was funnier
when
it happened.
I'm on WikiFeet. I don't mean to brag.
So am I.
But, you are?
You
are? What's your rating?
Oh, it's high.
Oh,
it's like,
shit.
Well, I haven't checked in a while.
Oh, I think
it was
I have
high
like
at first.
So I think I have quote okay feet.
I just discovered this about you, Leah.
Oh, you looked at my WikiFeet?
Yeah, I.
Oh my god.
I was clued in that you had a WikiFeet page. I checked you out.
Oh, how did they look?
I think you're like 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
It's like pretty good rating.
Nice. Oh, no, because there's some ratings in there that say pretty bad or like okay feet.
But most of them are 5.
I do remember. Thank you. That was like, okay. And I was like,
jeez. Yeah.
Well, that's cool and fetishy. I don't really have anything. I do have some guy who likes to call me mom on Instagram, and it weirds me out. But
that's kind of in
though. It's,
like,
I guess it's
I call
like,
people daddy.
Exactly.
And mommy, so mommy is coming around now.
I'm not.
I'm into it.
Really? I'm not
I've been
mad at
referring
it?
To myself as mommy. I like it.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Not to a person, just to in reference of myself to people.
I guess I could call myself mama, like if I'm, you know, talking myself into something.
You
so I guess
like
that mommy
song from Chicago. Mama's good to you, or
hard. Yeah.
When you're good to mama.
Mama. Ooh. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right.
I don't like that, but I don't want kids.
What is your sign again?
Aries. Is that bad?
Oh, I'm
so
okay.
I want to know everything, you guys. I'm so excited.
Yeah, I'm checking my
tell list. Me okay. things. Tell me which things.
I mean, I don't know.
Aries are good at leading a crowd. Uh-huh,
natural born leaders. Mm-hmm.
Super stubborn.
Stubborn, powerful.
Temperamental.
I'm still learning.
My rating is
Gemini?
Yeah.
Nice feet,
yeah.
4 out of 5.
Oh, you just looked it up?
Yeah. And there's pictures.
Good job.
Great.
There's pictures. Wow, there's a lot. How do they get these stills from videos?
Where are they getting your feet?
Do it.
Does someone put in the man hour to do that? Like the manpower?
I don't know. Or maybe there's bots
Maybe there's
do
an
it?
Algorithm.
Could be.
So, yeah.
I want to look myself up. I don't have any pictures of my feet on the internet, though.
But you'd be... I didn't know I did. Realize I did. Yeah. I'm not trying to put up pictures of my feet. But thanks to all my ratings, guys. Thanks.
It's so good.
Wait, so Aries.
Wait, well, you're... Wait, Gemini and Scorpio, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I'm amongst friends.
Yeah. My moon is in Aries.
Mm-hmm.
Moon.
What do you I have like a lot that? Of do you connect with that?
Moons being in Aries?
No, which
is your sign, yeah.
Oh, I really do.
Cuz what you tell us, what is that like?
Yeah, what is it?
Being in Aries?
Yeah.
It's like constantly being on fire.
Whoa. Like
I
are you
burn
mad a lot?
Not mad, but just
like burn it down and rebuild type fire?
Sometimes. Like I moved to Los Angeles a couple years ago from New York and I gave away every single thing I owned. I came here with 2 suitcases
Whoa.
And a dog and a cat.
Yeah.
And so that felt very, yeah, mm-hmm. You know, I was doing it to get away from a lot of things, mm-hmm. but I definitely have done that a few times in my life. So, and when I say like being on fire, I don't mean angry all the time, but the intensity of my experience of being alive is very hot. Like it's,
whoa. So do you just wake up and you're immediately Mary Jane?
If I'm sort of struggling with things where I'm having hard days, it'll actually kind of paralyze me.
Yes.
Oh.
And I totally relate because being that my moon is in Aries, that's my emotional self. So my emotions are so fiery and intense.
Yeah.
And
do you feel paralyzed by it sometimes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
You know what I mean?
Especially anxiety.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah. It'll just hold you right down.
Yeah.
Right there.
It'll sit right on your face.
At all. Yeah.
Yeah, not in a good way.
Not in the good way.
You also do candle moon stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are you still doing that?
I try to...
How often do you do it and what do you do?
Moon stuff, the main thing is that I try and put a bucket of water out under the full moon.
Mm-hmm. I remember
and
that.
Then the next morning you bathe in that water without soap or anything. Just it's cold. It's a cold way to wake up.
Yeah.
You set an intention with that.
That's awesome.
And it's pretty lovely. It's another reset button. Like it's
how
another
much
way
water?
To
water.
Just like a bucket. I have a 5-gallon bucket that
and
I use.
Like the type from Home Depot, like a paint.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
any
just
kind
pour
of bucket.
It all over yourself.
I do like a sponge bath situation.
Oh,
so I like
wow,
stand
okay.
in my bath and
sense.
I like use a sponge and sort of, you know, get it all over myself.
Ooh.
And I try to like get my hair wet and wash my entire body with it.
How did you get into this? Who got you into this?
A witch, a real witch.
Ah,
ooh,
cool.
Who not that we're all not all real witches,
yeah,
but
right,
she
right,
is a practicing
true.
Shaman.
Cool.
She's Brazilian. And when I was when I was living in New York, before I came to Los Angeles, I was in a really terrible situation with a relationship that ended and, you know, I got out and I'm fine.
Yeah.
But at the time I was leaving my home and moving here and giving everything away and it just felt like this wrenching thing that was happening. And my father had just passed away. So it was a lot of turmoil and sadness.
Yeah.
And my friend Christina said, I'm going to get my friend Erminia to come over and she's going to do a ceremony for you. And I didn't know what to expect. Yeah. And she just told me that I needed to have a white outfit and flowers and water on hand.
Mm.
And she came and she's this beautiful Brazilian woman in her, she must be in her 50s, I guess. And she was like, your father's all around you. You're going to be okay. And like, I would say on the anxiety wheel, it was churning at an 11 out of 10. Like I just felt panicking and just
paralyzed.
Totally distressed. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And she did this amazing thing where she had me put on my white, she took me as I was and she brushed me down with the leaves that I thought.
Flowers. Yeah.
And then she blessed water and she placed it throughout the house. And then she smudged the whole space and then she lit candles. Mm. And then she did this whole saying over me. And when it was over, she said, go shower and put on the white clothing. And I came out in the white clothing and she just looked at me and she was like, how do you feel? And I realized my anxiety wheel had stopped churning and I was probably at like a 2.
Wow.
All of a sudden, I was like, I feel so much calmer. And I walked out into the garden where my friends were waiting. I had girlfriends over because they were worried about me.
Yeah.
And they all looked at me and they were like, you look like you're so much better. You're present. We can see behind your eyes.
Yeah.
And so Armenia, so that was Armenia. So she really like shifted my energy before I left that space and allowed me to leave it.
Yes.
And then did she teach you about the moon water?
So then when I moved to Los Angeles, she was coming through LA with her daughter, taking her to Pomona College. Cool. And she was like, can we stay with you for the night? We don't know anyone in LA. And I just moved into this new space.
Yeah.
And I had an outdoor, a little garden. It was great in Echo Park. And she was like, oh, it's a full moon tonight. We're going to do a full moon ceremony.
Perfect.
And I just moved here and I was still feeling like super shaky, like baby little deer in LA. Like, well, how does it all work? I don't know anyone.
Yes.
And she put a bucket out under the full moon. And then the next morning she had both me and her daughter bathe in it.
Yeah.
And then she did a little incantation over us.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That's magical.
And she was like, she was like, always do this. Always bathe in your moon water. As often as you can. And also every time you go out into the wilderness, take food and leave it for your father or for your ancestors or for the spirits. You can actually feed them.
Whoa, that's cool.
She practices candomblé, which is I might be getting it wrong, but I'm pretty sure that's how you say it. It's a Brazilian religion that has a lot in common with what's the Haitian religion that
Hindu?
They no
Haitian
I don't know
Santeria or
maybe
not,
Santeria like, yeah okay. It's got a lot in common with or that voodoo, so it's very about like you know tactile things that can connect you so food you can connect to your ancestors. So she was like take food, your father's everywhere, he's all around you. Take food when you go on a hike or when you go to the beach and leave it for him.
I went to a Dia de los Muertos, the thing at Hollywood Forever. And they have these things set up for past loved ones, and they always have like fresh, like pies and pastry, like fresh food, just like sitting out. And that's, and like wine, there was a lot of joints and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's a way to like honor the loved ones, like giving them that kind of stuff. I think it's the same kind of idea.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Light candles, look at their picture, talk to them, offer them food. They're around.
Yeah. That's so cool.
I love the idea. Like if I didn't believe that, I think it would be a much harder life.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally.
People can believe that you can, you know, you might lose someone suddenly, but if you can still talk to them, it helps a little bit. I mean, it doesn't really help entirely, but.
Again, like whether it's real or not, like Leah was saying, it's, you've seen it in your brain and you feel it. So it's like, it is your reality. It is real.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't matter if someone else doesn't understand that. It's whatever you understand.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it helps a little, too, to not be so afraid to die yourself.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it helps me to understand that, you know, there's something after.
Yeah.
And hopefully we can communicate.
Oh, my gosh. Speaking of leaving food, let's have some of this mango while we do the carton.
Oh.
Okay.
We forgot about it.
I want to know all the things.
Like I want to have some fruit with you guys.
Mm. Yes, please.
So, I love being in circle with
thank
you women. It's so good.
Thank you.
We're all taking part in the fruit ceremoniously.
Yes. Happy mango.
Mm. Mm.
Sponsored by Trader Joe's. Just kidding, we're not.
Oh, we would love to be.
Can I ask a question from...
like ASMR.
I'm into it.
Yeah, ask a question.
Mango. I just wanted to know about your witchiness.
Yeah.
Do you remember like when you first identified as a...
Recently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, recent for me too.
The shift was, well, I would practice some clairvoyant type stuff, and I had clairvoyant experiences as early as 7th grade. I was in technology class, and I remembered my dream from the night before, which I've talked about this, I think, but it was my friend's house had burned down. The stairwell was burned. We were sitting upstairs in the dream and couldn't get down because it was all burned. And then, like, 2 days later, her house burned down.
Whoa.
Yeah. And everyone was okay. No one died. No one was hurt. And actually turned out to be positive because they got insurance money and got to redo their house. And they were, like,
wow,
not well off. So they wouldn't have been able to do that otherwise.
Wow.
Yeah. So all okay.
That's crazy.
Anyways. So I had experiences. But then I really identified and started actually learning only, like, 2 years ago, which the catalyst was making more female friendships and feeling empowered.
I love that so much.
With women. That's what got me going.
And I would say I discovered it around the same time that she did. And a lot of it comes from this cards for me. But I had very similar. I grew up, I remember telling my dad at sports, like hockey games, I would be like, I believe that I'm psychic. I can tell you what the score is going to be. And I would either get it or be very, very close. And that has remained with me. I guess numbers a lot. I guess people's names a lot. Signs I can guess. You birthdays I can guess. Yeah. So, I'm also Gemini. It's all about communication and, like, super empath. Also come from, like, emotional abuse. So I'm just, like, very keen on, like, emotions. I think that's where a lot of my witchiness comes from.
Yeah.
Before I identified as.
Do you see, when you read people, do you guys see energy or auras at all? Do either of you see that?
I wouldn't
that?
Say I see it, but I feel it.
Yeah. Oh,
you feel it.
Oh. Okay.
Wow.
Wait. Okay, I know I can't even prove this to you, but when we were talking earlier, I was like, I feel like she's going to get Irie in peace. I'm not kidding.
No way, dude.
I'm not kidding.
Okay, so we have...
There's no way to prove that. This is in my brain. It's intangible, but it's my reality, okay? Yes, bringing it back to the beginning.
Wait, I believe you. You guys, we just had a jumping card.
Oh, my God. Didn't Glazer get this card?
Glazer got a jumping card, though.
But he got a jumping card. You guys are so strong. No, he got Mother Mary Expect a Miracle.
Yep.
Okay. I remember there being a baby in a swaddle.
Do you often have jumping cards?
Holy shit, there's dolphins jumping in the background. There's a baby, and you were just talking about how you feel fertile. Like, not baby-wise, but idea-wise.
And people call me mommy?
Yes.
On Instagram.
Okay, so.
One person.
I guess we're going into your reading.
Okay.
Yeah, that's your fucking card.
I was just shuffling the cards for you, and then that card jumped. You guys saw it. We have it on video. That fucking flew out. So, what... Do you have any immediate
reaction
looking at this? Or did you come in here today wanting guidance on anything specific?
I have chills all over my body right now.
Did you have a question?
I didn't come in looking for anything specific at all, but this feels so right. Like, it feels like something that I needed but didn't know I needed.
Awesome.
I didn't come in looking for anything specific, but I feel like you guys are going to tell me something that I need to know. Yeah. I do.
Whoa. So what does it say? What does it look like? Describe the colors.
Okay. Irie. Peace. And the quote at the bottom says, there is no need to worry as everything is working out beautifully.
Wow.
So there are dolphins in the background. Mm-hmm. She's standing in front of an ocean.
Yeah.
There are three dolphins and she's holding a baby and like a sheaf of wheat or corn, maybe with grapes, corn and grapes, it looks like. And she looks very peaceful.
Wow.
Okay. All right.
I mean,
I'm excited.
This is amazing.
I have a lot of goosebumps too because you were just, when that happened just now, you said, do you guys see any like auras or anything? And Lee was like, I feel it. And then I was starting to say, I feel it in my gut when I get these readings. And there is a little bit of visuals in my head. And like, I was fucking feeling you and that jumped out. And now I'm feeling your goosebumps.
I have them.
Whoa.
Whoo. Okay.
What's her message?
Let's find out. Okay. Message from Irie. Even though appearances may seem chaotic, I assure you that a higher plan is in action. I know what this is about, too. This all-loving power...
A higher plan?
I can't get any higher.
I know what this is about.
Let's get stoned! This all-loving power is carrying and supporting you completely.
Wow.
Supporting you completely. I feel like that's really important for you to hear. Relax into the arms of divine love and breathe away all cares, concerns, and worries.
Wow.
Speaking of the anxiety, put your focus into enjoying and appreciating each blessing. Your gratitude...
helps you attract even more blessings into your life.
Wow.
Whoa. Is this about what you were saying about your car and your living situation with your...
Yeah, this is some family stuff going on. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Various meanings of this card.
Wow.
Give your cares and worries to heaven. Pray. Meditate. Engage in peace-enhancing activities such as yoga, sea salt baths, massage, naps, music, playfulness, and the like.
That's lovely.
Why did you laugh?
And good advice for all of us.
And what we were saying about being a witch, we connect to all those things. It's basically self-care.
Yeah.
Self-love.
Wait, did you laugh for a specific reason?
When did I laugh?
When she said...
Sea salt?
Yoga, sea salt baths.
Oh, because I brought you guys a salt bath.
Oh, yeah.
I brought you guys an Epsom salt soak that's full of weed.
Yeah, you're really facilitating this.
Hell yeah. Okay, about Irene. A Greek goddess whose sisters include the goddesses of lawfulness and justice, Irene brings peacefulness to all who call upon her. The Romans referred to her as Pax, which means peace. Irene helps us replace worry with faith. She also reminds us to retain our childlike awe and enthusiasm for life.
Wow.
What exactly does that?
Oh, God, it means so much to me. I'm feeling all teary about it, actually. It's quite emotional. Sorry.
No, sorry at all, please.
You wouldn't be the first space. and not the last.
Yeah, definitely. It's wonderful. I'm dealing with, something that's quite heavy that I don't even want to get into because it's not really about that. But it's been sort of some family stuff that's very difficult. And so, you know, just thinking about this is what I've been trying to put into practice, but not really quite able to. So like this confirmation is wonderful.
Yeah.
I did just text my best friend the other day and say, you know, I've realized that me feeling low all the time is not going to help anyone. And so I really do need to enjoy the little positive things
that you can,
that I can. Yes. So to hear you say like, lean into it, count your blessings, you're going to be taken care of, and actually, you know, it's okay to be happy. Is really lovely. And then also the part about retaining like your childlike sense of awe, I feel like I try to do.
You are that.
Yeah.
Thank
playful.
You.
Yeah.
Playful and youthful and glowing and beautiful.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You
I feel like,
that.
Thank you. I think that there's like a societal expectation of women to, as they get older, release that sense of play and get very stuck into sort of some roles of, you know, that I haven't aligned myself with at all, like at this point in my life. And so this is another confirmation like that, but that's okay.
Yes.
I can feel free to be childlike and play as long
as I know I'm childlike. I hope I'm forever childlike.
Yeah.
So too. And I was literally telling my guy that about you. I was like, oh, I have MJ on the podcast and I'm so excited because I know it's going to feel so good to see her.
Wow.
Because you just feel good to be around. And I,
I do.
Yeah,
thank you.
For
like,
sure.
She's good people. She's so warm and loving.
Wow.
I just get that from you from the first time I met you.
Back at you.
Yeah.
I feel wonderful. This feels like a big hug, like a big oral hug, which I really needed, honestly.
I also just can't believe that. I mean, we can't discount that it's the ocean and the dolphins.
Yeah. And that we were just talking.
And that I fucking saw this card. I knew you were going to pull it.
That's so crazy.
I can't prove it.
I felt it. You saw it and it jumped out of you. So that's a trio of witches right there.
Yes, it is.
Can you just do something to end the sesh? Like kiss it, hold it. Touch it.
Yeah.
Flip it, twist it, bop it.
I'm just going to put it on my heart. And like breathe into it. And it's going to be okay.
It's
not only going to be okay, it's going to work out beautifully.
Wow.
It's way better than okay. Wow.
And speaking of gratitude, let's do a basic blessing.
Yes.
Let's say something we're grateful for.
Okay.
Yeah. And also, if you have anything to plug, please share.
Okay.
I know everybody should be listening to Weed and Grub.
Well, that's actually what I'm grateful for.
Awesome.
So it's a good way to plug it and be grateful. So I'm really grateful for Weed and Grub because it's, you know, the podcast that I do with our friend Mike, where I get to smoke weed and snack and hang. And it just, you know, I'm also in therapy. And I do all of the things. I go, I hike and I go to yoga and I do all of those things for my mental health. Mm-hmm. But Weed and Grub honestly feels like something that I give to myself every week that is good for me.
Awesome. That's how I feel about this podcast.
We call this church.
Yep.
Yeah. Church. Exactly. Yeah. So it's like, that's what I'm super grateful for. And if anyone wants to tune in, that would be great too.
Yes, you guys should. It's great.
Thanks. Awesome.
I'm so, so grateful for meeting you through Mike, and for the goodies that you always bring us.
Oh,
so nice.
It's you have to share.
Yes.
Yeah, always.
So it's very, very appreciated.
Thank you.
Yeah. Gotcha. I have to be grateful for the goodies also, because I've been feeling like I want to, I don't know, continue to feel more like cared about and receiving and in my feminine energy and stuff, and not feeling bad about getting these gifts. I'm very grateful for. I appreciate it and I feel loved and I don't feel bad about that.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Great.
Embracing receiving. So, it is hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's one of the hardest. Yeah. It's simple, but not easy.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. Oh, I love you so much.
I love you too. This is so good for me.
Oh, more mango? Glad.
That was, yes, please. Thank you, Mary Jane.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank you so much. Wow. Whoop, whoop. Basic witches. Basic witches.